Welcome to the Interpreter Foundation podcast. I'm Martin Tanner, your host. Our topic for this segment, this is a discussion segment, is Jesus Christ and his gift as the Messiah. The mission of the Interpreter Foundation is to support the church through scholarship. We make the best scholarship available. We do it in podcasts, journal articles, book seminars, films, and other media. See what we have to offer at interpreterfoundation.org. And if you like this podcast, please consider telling your friends about it. If you're looking for a fabulous trip this summer, if you're looking for a marvelous family experience, maybe a one-of-a-kind Christmas gift, join the Interpreter Foundation this next summer for a meticulously crafted tour of Great Britain led by Dan Peterson and Chris Fredrickson. Explore storied Latter-day Saint church history sites, learn about the missionaries who sacrificed so much to preach the gospel in the UK. Learn about those who were their converts. Explore renowned cathedrals, palaces, quaint villages, spectacular locales. Participate in local cultural events and conclude with four memorable days in London. Space is limited, so book your reservations now by visiting Bountiful Travel's website, which is bountifultravel.com, or simply call them. Call them at 801-453-9444. And now our discussion topic, which is descriptions of Jesus as the Messiah from the Old Testament. I'm also going to add some things from the New Testament here. But one of the fascinating things is to contemplate, where do you find the message of Jesus in the Old Testament? If the Jews believed they were going to have a Messiah, well, where do you find all of that in the Old Testament? What is the need for a Messiah that we see in the Old Testament? And how does that description meet the Jesus that we believe is the Messiah as members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? If you think about it, the idea of a Messiah is something that's pretty universal. You have it in the Old Testament. First place that you have it, that you may not recognize it in Old Testament times, is in the Book of Mormon, in the Book of Mosiah. Mosiah is probably a transliteration of the word Mashiach or Messiah, which is, of course, the Jewish word for Savior. The word Messiah is also found in the names of individuals in the Old Testament. We know, of course, that Jesus was the Messiah. He and many other Jews in his era had the name Jesus, which literally means anointed one or Messiah or Savior. But if you go to the Old Testament, you have different individuals who also filled that same kind of a role. Of course, Moses was a Savior. He saved the people out of Egypt. You have his sidekick or companion, Joshua. Joshua actually had the same name as Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, different transliteration of the word to save. Virtually all of the prophets in the Old Testament had Messiah-like qualities about them, Savior-like qualities about them. Now, they are, of course, not the saviors, but it shows that many people can be saviors in certain ways, and that they're doing the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when they do that. Probably the key Old Testament verses that give us information about the Messiah are in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. And I'll paraphrase those rather than read them. They basically talk about how the covenant with God had been broken during Old Testament times. Jeremiah is writing this after the collapse and destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. This would have been in about 598 BC, give or take a little bit, just probably a few short years after Lehi and his followers had left Jerusalem and come to the New World. We also know that Jeremiah's statement here is prophecy of the Messiah. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34 says that the covenant of the Old Testament was broken, but there would be in the future, in the latter days, in the last times, a new covenant that would be made by God with his people. And it would not be a covenant like the old one, which had been broken. It would be a new one where God wrote his covenant in the hearts of his people. The Christians at the time of Christ believed that Christianity was a fulfillment of Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. And it's from those verses, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, that we got the phrases Old Testament and New Testament, which is kind of a bad translation of the words involved there. We should really be reading the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, not the Old Testament and the New Testament, but that's a discussion for another day. Latter-day Saints believe that we have a restoration of the New Covenant, which came about in Christ. During Old Testament times, the ideas that there was a savior are to be found all over if you're looking for them. The atonement in the Old Testament, if you're looking for it, would refer to the process of reconciling people with God. And in the Old Testament era, that happened primarily through sacrificial offerings. This concept is something you can find in the belief that sin creates a separation between God and people. And of course, you need a way to restore that. The Old Testament way to restore that would be with sacrifices, animal sacrifices, burnt offerings, grain offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings. Blood played a crucial role in Old Testament atonements. According to Leviticus 17:11, the blood makes atonement for one's life, close quote. So the shedding of blood, even in Old Testament times, symbolized the payment of sin and the restoration of purity. Latter-day Saints who focus on these at the time of Christmas, of Jesus' birth, will realize These foreshadow Christ. And then you have in Old Testament times the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. This is the most significant day in the Jewish calendar for atonement. It occurs on the 10th day of the 7th month and involves a number of special rituals performed by the high priest, including animal sacrifices for personal and communal sins, sins for whole society. You have the scapegoat ceremony where the goat carries off the sins of the people into the wilderness. The theological implications of Yom Kippur are that the whole meaning of this Day of Atonement is that it's both to repay a debt and to purify. To pay for a debt and to purify the person. This dual meaning of atonement is a gift from God and means to be at one with God or reconciled to Him. And these were, of course, a foreshadowing of Christ. And this ancient sacrificial system is seen by Christians and Latter-day Saint Christians as something that shows that a savior was needed and would come. And Joseph Smith actually described very well the Jewish idea of a savior when he was talking about a vision that he had where he saw resurrection. Jesus saw people being resurrected at the beginning of the millennium in a vision that he had. And he said that all of our losses will be made up in the resurrection. And he said that he had seen it vividly and clearly. The resurrection is something that we look forward to in the future. It's also something that seems to be, in some ways, a bit of a mystery. And that's because few people have seen a resurrection. But the idea that Latter-day Saints have is that a resurrection means that we have our spiritual body and our physical body perfected, irrevocably bound together, and that makes us, at least in that way, like God. During this Christmas season, think about the matchless gift of God's Son, and think about how we have this idea of a savior in Old Testament times, very much in New Testament times, and of course, during the times of the restored gospel. I'm Martin Tanner. This is the Interpreter Foundation podcast discussion. Join us again.